It's good to see all of you in
the Lord's house this morning. It's great to be here. It's great that you're here. Thank you. Thank the Lord for laying upon your heart, and thank you for listening to what the Lord had to say and bringing you here to worship with us. It's a good day. Always a good day to worship together. Always good to see our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And to think about one of these days, we're going to be together for all of eternity if we know Jesus. And I pray that everybody here that's old enough has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Fathers, we bow before you this morning. We come to you in that precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your blessings in life today. We thank you that you care about us and that you love us. We thank you that when we meet together like this, the Holy Spirit is here to guide and direct. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit will be speaking to our hearts through the prayers, the music, the message. Father, we pray that you'll give us spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And Lord, we want you to be glorified and honored. Lord, we think about the fact that around the throne of heaven, even today, there are multitudes of saints crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and riches." And Father, we join them here on earth in praying and glorifying your worthiness, your power, your greatness, your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Ed. It's good to see you all this morning. If you're here and you're our visitor today, we welcome you as our special guest indeed today. And as we do every Sunday morning, we will sing a hymn for the church. And it's getting Easter time. Do you all feel the weather's getting just about right for that? And we'll have some more cold weather between now.
Unmute it.
Yep. What did I do? Just say stop.
Alexa.
You would think that I would know all about mics, wouldn't you? But I depend so much on the sound man. Oops, excuse me, Mike. I depend on so much. So. You have to laugh at me a little bit, you know, that's all there is to it. Now I feel better. You can hear me better, can't you? Anyway, well, good morning. Good morning. Let's sing the good old hymn of the church, Easter time. We're getting into Easter time. This is a song that's called At Calvary. Let's all stand together, please. Caring not, my Lord was crucified. ask you to remain standing for prayer, please.
We want to thank you for allowing us to come back in the house. We want to just give the pastor the words we need to hear today. So we can get the first commitment. If the Lord is fixing to be mentioned on prayer list, we want to lay your hand on each situation. And that's how we'll do that. For the money we're about to receive, we still feel that they'll be here to you. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Good morning again, and I have some announcements I want to share with you. Not a whole lot of them, but we do have some that we need to make sure you're aware of. This evening, there'll be no evening services here this evening. And so, if you don't have anything else that you want to do, you can come over to West Stanley Church, Baptist Church on 2427. Our group, the Towers, will be singing there tonight. So, if you want to come over, we'll be glad to have you come over. Sorry about this. It's just not my day today. Have you ever noticed?
Now trouble with
the stand. I don't know. But it's okay. It's all right. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. If it goes back down, it'll be all right. But anyway, so that's if you don't have anything to do tonight, we'd love to have you come over. But now, Wednesday night, yes. Sir?
What time?
Oh, 6 o'clock. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, 6. And so we'll be glad to have you. It's part of revival. We'll be leading with the revival tonight, okay? Okay, now, let's look at Wednesday night. Wednesday night's Bible study, and our praise team practice will be at 7:30 as we are preparing for Easter. So be all our praise team be here for that, and that's wonderful, okay? And now we've also, this is a month in March and April for Annie Armstrong. And we will begin receiving that offering for them. And Brother Jeff, I think you got a video for Annie Armstrong.
Yes.
Okay.
If I can get it to play.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you will. If it was me doing it, probably wouldn't. But you got it.
Bear with me just a second.
All right. That's fine.
Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able
to do above and beyond all that we ask or think.
Por el poder que obra eficazmente en nosotros.
To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus.
To all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Wherever we are, God calls us to more than.
People here are raised to hate Christianity. So naturally, we planted a church.
More than what's realistic.
Everybody said that this congregation was as good as dead, but God proved them wrong.
Amen!
More than what's believable.
I was a homeless heroin junkie, and now I'm a church planter.
More than what's practical.
We don't have the manpower to start another church. Yet, here we are.
More than what's assumed.
When I hear people say college students aren't hungry for the gospel, I just tell them, watch this.
And when God does more than we can ask or think, this is what it looks like. And this is what it looks like. And this is what it looks like. Your generosity to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is more than a gift. It's a spiritual investment with a future return. When you give, missionaries are sent, churches are planted, lives are transformed, and he who is able will do more than we can ask or think. And so together we give more than a gift.
You know, the thing I noticed about that is the people were excited. They were excited to have God in their life and a place to go and worship. Think about how it would be if we didn't have that opportunity. You'd be upset, wouldn't you, if you didn't have, or if you couldn't go today. So praise God that it's going out. Annie Armstrong is helping those who wouldn't have had a chance to worship. That's wonderful. All right, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked anywhere? Yes, go ahead. Oh, God. Yeah. The Constitution Committee will meet today, right? Senior Adult Sunday School class, Constitution Committee at 11. There it is. Okay.
And I need the building and grounds for just a couple minutes down front after the service.
Building the grounds down front. Before you go that way, come this way, building the grounds. Okay? All right. Anything else?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Okay. All right. Plan to have some good barbecue, and it is good barbecue. I can guarantee you that. It's all in the sauce, but it's good. That's an inside joke, just so you would know, I do make the sauce. So that's the reason I said that. Just a joke, by the way, but they do a great job. You really do. All right. Anybody else? Any other announcements anywhere? All right, then let's go to our prayer requests this morning. I have a few that I want to share with you already that I have received. The Reverend Ronnie Dry, we just remember him. Let's remember the Triplett family after they lost their loved one. Janice and Jim, they're going to be doing some traveling next week, right, sometime. And let's remember, ask God's traveling mercy upon them as their travels. Let's remember the military, our U.S. military and Israel military as a the Marines, I think, has been called in. So let's remember them. Let's remember Marshall Feiss has been rest. We remember him today. And also there was mention about the inclement weather that's coming in tomorrow. We've been warned about that already. I had a warning on my machine this morning telling me that it's possible coming. But God's in control, and let's pray for His will to be done, and safety for all of us. Any other requests this morning? Yes, Kathy.
This is a friend of a former co-worker, Stacy Cosgrove. She is getting ready to go into rehab, and she is requesting your prayers because she has battled addiction for several years, and she really needs prayers. She's ready, and she's ready to go. So please pray for her. Remember to pray for her.
Okay, Stacy Cosgrove. Okay. Yes, Lori.
Y'all keep remembering Stacy Talley. She's had some medical issues going on. So.
Stacy Talley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better, I think my name can be taken off the prayer list because I'm doing good.
Well, you're looking great.
She's a doctor and everything's good.
Wonderful. And Bobby's doing great.
Yeah, he's just battling all those skin cancers.
Okay. Love to hear the praise reports. God is on the throne and God is still working among us all. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're acknowledging, number one, who you are. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the one and only true God. You are the Yahweh. You are the one and the only all-seeing, all-knowing God. And Lord, with knowing that in our hearts today, Lord, we come to you. And we come to you first in thanksgiving. Before I ever ask you for anything, Lord, this morning, help us, Lord, to come to you in thanksgiving. All the many blessings that I see in this room tonight, Lord, and today, I see so many blessings that are here among us. We've heard of praise reports already this morning, Lord, with Miss Janice. And Lord, we thank you for the answer in a prayer. We thank you for that. But then, Lord, there are those who have mentioned this morning the need and ask that we bring it to you. And Lord, we believe in bringing it to you specifically and calling their name before you. And Lord, I pray for Reverend Ronnie Dry this morning as he is dealing with heart issues. With the Triplett family who have lost their grandfather, Lord, we pray for them, Lord. Then we lift up Janice and Jim who will be traveling. We pray for traveling mercy for them, Lord, we pray. And then, Lord, as we think about the war that is going on, we lift up our military. We lift up Israel's military. And, Lord, we pray, yes, for Iran, that somehow, Lord, this will all come to an end. And, Lord, that peace will be found. Now, Lord, we pray for Marshall Feist. We lift him up to you and ask for healing for his body. And as the weather comes tomorrow, Lord, you know what we need and you know in control. But Lord, we pray for safety. We pray for peace. Lord, we pray for Stacy Cosgrove and we lift her up in the addiction problems she's experiencing. And Lord, for Stacy Talley, we pray for her as well, Lord, and ask for healing of her body. And then Lord, we ask, and as we go forward in our service today, we pray your blessings upon each who will have a part. Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed. We lift him up to you, Lord. And then as he is our pastor here in this place, we pray for him daily that you will guide him and guard him, keep him safe, give him strength, we pray. Thank you for all who had a part. Thank you for those who support this ministry. And we've asked them, lift him up to you in thanks. Now, Lord, go with us, I pray. And Lord, if there be someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, let this be the day. Let this be the day that that Holy Spirit will convict them in such a way that they will receive you as your Savior. And then, Lord, these many blessings I pray in your name. Amen. We're going to do a song together this morning, and we're going to stand a song that this song just simply says, Lord, we've come here to worship. How many have? Amen. Well, you're going to love the song. Let's all stand together.
Oh,
Children, you are dismissed.
Bless you, brother. Watching that video a little earlier and seeing them baptized in that water tank. Very interesting. I know that some churches do that. Even some of the new built churches, they don't put in a baptistry. They just bring in a tank like that from time to time. So it's interesting. You know, Easter's a reminder to us that Jesus came to earth for one simple purpose: to do the Father's will. Over and over and over again, he said, I've come to do what my Father said, what he told me to do. I say what he says, I do what he does. His whole goal in life was to do the Father's will. And from time to time, we need to stop and ask ourselves, how committed am I to doing the Father's will? Do I never do it? Do I seldom do it? Do I sometimes do it? Do I do it very often, but not all the time? Do I do the Father's will just when it makes me look good? You know, some folks are good Christians whenever it makes them look good, gets them a pat on the back. But when you see them outside of the church or outside of the Christian environment, they don't much live for Jesus. Or is our desire to always, as best we can, to know and to do the will of God? Jesus knew his one purpose to coming to earth was to die on the cross. Now the cross was a shock to the disciples. They never really got it. Even though he explained it many times, they never got it. It's only after Pentecost that they really, really began to understand it. I mean, you remember crucifixion, resurrection, about 40 days with the disciples. And then there that last day, and one of them pops up and says, well, Lord, is it time for you to restore the kingdom of this day? Like, isn't it about time you've shown how powerful you are with the resurrection? Isn't it about time you wiped out these nasty Romans and we took over? They didn't get it. But Jesus knew his will was to do the will of the Father, and the Father's will was him to die on the cross for our sin. Now, think for a moment. It was not a shock to Jesus, but it was to the disciples. Turn with me to Luke 9, and we're going to just look for just a few minutes about the commitment that Jesus had to do the Father's will. Luke chapter 9. They're on the way to Jerusalem, and Luke 9 verse 22, Jesus was saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. That pretty plain? He said, we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be rejected, the elders are going to put me to death, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. Very plainly, Jesus told the disciples what was going to happen. Now go right on down in that chapter to verse 51, Luke 9, 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, if you go to verse 53, the people there in the Samaritan village did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, he was one focus. I am going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He knew what was coming, but he had one focus. His face was set. And you know, it's interesting. You can tell somebody often if you know them well, just by looking at their face, you know, boy, they mean business with whatever it is that's going on. They're not wishy-washy about this thing. They need mean business, no matter whether it's good or bad. They mean business. And Jesus knew where he was going, and it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, if you go over to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Jesus was praying and he says, Lord, Father God, not what I want, but what you want. He wasn't any more excited about dying than you are. He wouldn't be any more excited about the pain and suffering of the cross than you and I would be. But he had a suffering that was greater than anything that we would suffer. It says that Jesus, when he was on the cross, all of our sin was placed on him. Now, think about it. He was sinless. He was pure. He had never sinned once in his whole life. And suddenly he was just deluged, flooded with the sins of every person that's ever lived and ever will live. You can think about the nicest people you know, and you can think about the most degraded people you know, and all of that sin was upon Jesus. And for the first time, Jesus also, for the first time on the cross, he experienced something that he had never experienced before. You remember he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, he and the Father had been one forever. And for a few moments, the Heavenly Father had to turn his back upon Jesus because Jesus was covered with our sin. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Now, that's an awesome prayer. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. Not my will, but thine be done. Let's go to one more. It's a verse that we've looked at, Hebrews chapter 12. It's a verse that we looked at not long ago on Wednesday night. So some of you are already the head of the class. Hebrews 12. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. And what was the focus of Jesus? He began our faith. He's finishing our faith. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Why? Because he could see the end result. Many of us go through certain things in life for the end result. Those of you that have a high school diploma, you probably took some classes you didn't enjoy, but the end result was that diploma. Those of you that went to college and have a college degree, probably had to take some courses you didn't enjoy. But you saw the final result. You were looking for that graduation day. Jesus was looking for that day when he would be in heaven and you and I would be with him. The joy that was set before him. He was looking forward to that day he would be sitting on the Father's right hand, and gathered around the throne of God would be believers from all places, all times, all generations, all races and creeds and colors, all of us that know him as Lord and Savior. He was committed to doing the Father's will. He prophesied it. He set his face to Jerusalem. He died on the cross knowing it was the Father's will, and he was looking for the joy. How committed are we to doing the will of the Father? How, and the thing is, for most of us, it won't involve dying. It won't involve being a martyr. There may be somebody that eventually might, but right now, very few of us will actually die for our faith. But actually, how committed are we to doing God's will? And it can be a matter of a little choice. It can be a matter of a bigger choice. And often it's a daily choice, doing the Father's will. I'm going to run through a lot of different possibilities, and you just plug in wherever it suits your lifestyle. Now, you know, Pamela and I were married 50-some years, and we got along great. But about once in a blue moon, we'd have a fuss. Now, I know probably you never had a fuss with your spouse, but once in a blue moon, we'd have a fuss. And I know on several occasions I think, that stubborn woman, I'm just going to church, work on a sermon. And I go over to the church and I'd sit in the office. I said, now, Lord, what you want me to preach today or this week? I'm not telling you anything. You go back and apologize to your wife. But now, Lord, she was wrong. Okay, Lord, what am I going to preach? Lord, where'd you go? Okay, I'll go back and apologize to my wife, and then when I do that, he'd give me a sermon. It's a lonely thing if you get up here on Sunday morning, you don't have anything to say. So I learned if I had to apologize to my wife to get a sermon, I'd go apologize to my wife. That was God's will. Sometimes it's hard to apologize to our spouse. I've gone back now that my kids are grown and apologized to them for a couple of things. I wish I could have been a better parent. I thought I was a pretty good one, but I wish I'd have been an even better one. The Father's will sometimes is for us to apologize, maybe to a friend. Do you seek the Father's will in your giving? It's amazing sometimes we'll be doing something and some offering, and whether it's a local church offering, or whether it's somebody that I feel impressed to make a donation to, and I start to write this $50 check, and the Lord said, that ain't enough. Well, you mean that's not enough? But Lord, I just don't want to write a $50 check. That's not enough. Am I going to do the Father's will? Are you going to do the Father's will when it comes to our giving? Not what I want, but what He wants. There are people that know that they should be going on mission trips, but they never do. It was the Father's will, but they don't go. What about a change of life plans? I said this a couple of weeks ago in the sermon, and it seemed to me that we've got more people in the world today than we've had ever. And yet we seem to have fewer men being called to ministry. I don't think God's calling less. I think people aren't listening and aren't willing to do the will of the Father. They just don't want to do the will of the Father. Are we willing to do His will? Young people, are you willing to do the Father's will and marry the right person? Or is your heart set on marrying a certain person and it doesn't matter whether that's God's will or not? You know, it's strange. You as a pastor, you have somebody, a couple comes in, want to get married, and you say, well, you know, have y'all prayed about this? Well, I know God don't want me to marry him. He's a druggie. He's a this, that, or the other. But I'm going to marry him anyway. And then 6 months later, preacher, why isn't my marriage working out? God told you not to get hooked up in that mess. What about if God tells you to give up some of your sin, give up sinful ways? You know the things in your life that are sinful. And God says, give them up. What if God tells you to give up some good stuff? It's not sinful, except as it prevents you from doing the better. There's nothing wrong with golf or fishing or whatever. Or a lot of other activities. Unless you're using those as an excuse to not serve the Lord. After I moved away from Chatham County, one of the other churches in the county called a pastor. The pastor was a golfer. He golfed 3, 4, 5 days a week and preached leftover sermons from somewhere else. He didn't have time to spend any time with the Lord and get something fresh. So he preached stale leftovers to his church. Now, I played golf. Nothing wrong with golf. Well, I played something that was akin to golf. It looked like I had golf clubs, but I used to laugh. You know, every year they come out, this new driver, you can hit the ball 20 yards further. And I think, why would I want to hit the ball 20 yards further out into the woods? What about being honest? Totally honest. I'm thinking about a lady that if I named her, you'd know who I'm talking about, who became a well-known Bible teacher. She said when she still had just a home prayer Bible teaching group. She was working part-time and the boss gave her some paperwork to do something that was crooked. And she meditated on the morning, and finally around lunchtime she went in and said, I'm a Christian, I can't do this, it's illegal, it's crooked. If you want to fire me, fire me. He said, give it to me. And he took it and she went on back to her desk and he didn't fire her. But she made a stand. I'm thinking about a young man who became the financial officer of a Christian ministry. It was a Christian ministry that had been started by an individual back in, I think, in the 50s. And back then, it didn't much matter what Christian activities did. The IRS just sort of didn't pay any attention to them. And this young man got to looking at the way the ministry did its books. And he goes to the man that started and said, "This is illegal." "Oh, we've always done it that way. Don't worry about it." And even though this young man had a family and needed the job, he says, "I'm not going to jail for you. You can have the job. I quit." Are we willing to follow Jesus as far as it takes to be honest? You know, sometimes following Jesus is going against the flow. Everybody else is floating downstream. And we've seen that a lot in the quote Christian circles these days, with a lot of people saying, "I'm a Christian," and they're doing a lot of stuff that aren't Bible. The Bible calls sin. And sometimes to swim upstream is hard, but are we willing to follow Jesus upstream? How willing are we to follow Jesus and do the will of God? There's some ministries that I support. Got newsletters from two of them this week. It's very interesting. My friend Reggie, most of the time, goes to Tanzania. The last time he was in Tanzania, he almost died from some kind of medical episode. He came home back to Louisiana, got healed up, and was going to go back to Tanzania a few weeks ago. And they, you know, that was one of those countries that had some turmoil, and so he didn't go, but he went to Uganda. And according to his newsletter, he said, "We went to some areas that nobody else goes to." Why? There's no place for the volunteers to stay. So he says, "We went, and they stayed in tents, just like you'd go to Walmart or a sporting goods store and buy. They showed the Jesus film, and 1,600 and some people accepted Jesus. Because they went to an area that nobody else would go to, and they were willing to live in a tent. And I guess they cooked over an open campfire of some kind. And then my friend Reggie said he taught the pastors in that area, and then when it was over with, like, "Pastor of this village, here's the people from your village that accepted Jesus, and here's the people from your village that accepted Jesus." He says a lot of those pastors will be able to double the size of their church because they went to Uganda, to a place nobody else would go. Things have calmed down in Tanzania, and he's headed there, I think this week or next week. I have another friend named Dennis. Dennis ministers in South America and to some of the remote mountain tribes. There aren't any roads. And Dennis has some native workers that go. And in the last newsletter, there's a picture. And I was showing it to Kenny earlier. I said, "Look at this five-lane road this guy's on. It's a little muddy path about as wide as this aisle. He'll be gone a month. He's leading a mule, and his wife and kids are sitting on the back of that mule." Now, all of us had kids. "Mama, Daddy, I need the bathroom." So we're looking for a rest stop or a 7-Eleven or something. He's stopping and saying, "There's a tree. There's a bush." He'll be gone a month. he has to wade across the river, I think it's 37 times. Because you know how in the mountain areas the rivers weave back and forth down between the mountains. They're committed to the Lord. And they go to these mountain tribes that have never heard about Jesus. They take a solar generator, they show the Jesus film, and many are saved. They start a church. It's because God has given them a vision that everybody needs to hear about Jesus at least once. And every so often in his newsletter, he'll say, oh, we found a new tribe this month. And he'll name off, it'll be in English, but it won't mean anything to me, but it'll be a certain tribe that they found that had never heard about Jesus before. You see, they were committed. Jesus went to the cross because he was committed to doing the Father's will no matter what. I think at every Easter, I think about that song that goes something like this. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Thank God that we have a Savior that was committed to totally doing the will of the Father. May we so love Him that whether it's something little or something big, whether it's a once-in-a-lifetime choice or it's a whole lifetime choice, we'll say, Father, whatever you will, I'll do it. Whatever you will, I'll do it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Is there someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Jesus has spoken to you, already told you you need to do that, and you've kept putting it off. Would you today say, Lord, thy will be done. And when the invitation is sung, step out and come and share with me that you've given your heart and life to Jesus. Is there someone that's been battling an area of disobedience? You know you're out of the will of God in whatever it is. Maybe you need to come to the altar, or maybe right where you stand. You say, Lord, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. Maybe you know somebody that's struggling. They're out of the will of God, and you know they're out of the will of God, and they may even know they're out of the will of God. But they haven't said yes. Would you just write where you are, pray for them? Lord, I pray for my family member. I pray for my friend. Pray for my coworker. Lord, that they'll get in your will. You may actually know the person that needs to be the next youth pastor here. And they're not willing to submit. Would you pray for them? Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he came to do the Father's will, and he set his face to Jerusalem, knowing what it would cost. Knowing what it would cost to set us free and give us eternal life. Oh, I thank you for Jesus. And Lord, may we have a commitment, each one of us, to do the Father's will in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing the invitation, if God's laid on your heart to come, would you come?
Stand, please.
now. May the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace and joy. In the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.